and welcome to my TED's Talking Podcast. I'm your host, Teddy Tenderson. Today we have a great show for you. We are talking to a group of people right out of a parable. Our first guest today is a farmer from a distant land. His name is Farmer Digsley.
Thanks for having me on your TED Talk.
It's not a TED Talk. Every guest does this.
I ain't sure, but thanks anyways.
All right, so what do you do?
Well, you see, I am in the business of happiness.
I thought you were a farmer.
I am a farmer. I raise pigs.
Yeah, but you said you're in the happiness business.
Don't bacon make people happy?
Yes, it does.
And don't bacon come from pigs?
Yes.
So I make bacon, which makes people happy. So I'm in the happiness business. You ain't the sharpest tool in the shed, are you, Teddy boy?
I guess I'm not. So tell us about the first time you met Sonny.
I went to some parties this guy threw. They almost didn't let me in the door. They were pretty fancy.
Yeah, you do smell a little bit about from being around all those pigs all the time.
I can't smell nothing.
Well, it's a good thing our listeners are online because they might not agree. But anyway, so what happened at these parties?
They were some really fancy affairs. No bacon in sight. They were the most extravagant parties I have ever seen. I mean, have you ever seen an ice sculpture?
Yeah, I have.
Well, then you know that they are a waste. It's just going to melt since we live in a desert. He could have had at least made one of the statues a pig or something, but no, it was always angels and horses.
All right, so there were lavish decorations, but what else did you notice about these parties?
The food.
Food? Wait, was it good or bad?
Well, it wasn't good for me. I guess some people might have liked it, but the portions were tiny. And you know what? Not a pork product anywhere. At least wrap a steak in some... a piece of steak and some bacon, or serve up some pulled pork sandwiches or something.
Anything else?
Yeah, come to think of it, he's throwing these parties like four nights a week. I could only go on Friday's nights on account of I gotta make sure the market is ready to go during the week.
Wait, you've got a market?
Yes, sir, Digsley's Market. We sell all sorts of bacon and pork related product. You ever want a bacon fat candle? We got them.
I don't think I've ever thought about a bacon fat candle before.
Oh yeah, they are big time. Why, they make your place smell great, and then if you're cooking, need a little fat, just pour off a little in the pan.
That sounds like a really good multi-use product.
Yep, it sure is.
So what happened to Sonny after his party days were done?
Well, that kind of living is hard to sustain. I already threw parties until one day he just flat ran out of money.
I guess it's not very surprised to hear that. When did you see him again afterwards?
You see, I was in my market one day, and I saw old Sonny, and I said to myself, I bet that's party boy himself. Well, he came up and asked for a job working on the pig farm.
Oh, how did he look?
Oh, he was a real mess. I've seen plenty of people in need, and he was the worst. He smelled like garbage.
I thought you couldn't smell.
Oh, I could smell him all right.
I guess that had to be pretty bad for you to be able to smell him.
Yeah, I let him wash my pond and start working for me. He was grateful, but I could tell he remembered me being at his parties, and he seemed a little piggish about that.
Piggish? I've never heard that word used that way before.
Oh, well, some folks say sheepish, but I ain't no sheep, just pigs.
I understand. All right, so what kind of worker was Sonny?
He wasn't too bad. I could tell he had been around farming before.
How were his living conditions?
I take good care of my guys, but it's a far cry from what he was doing.
Back when you first met him, I guess. Okay, so did the pig business treat Sonny well?
It did for a while, but then there came this big drought and food started getting harder to come by for the pigs and the people in our country.
Did that affect how Sonny worked?
I remember once he asked if he could have some of the food I was giving the pigs, but I couldn't spare anything. There was a famine and I needed fat pigs for bacon. Nobody could spare nothing.
Sounds like he was really getting desperate.
That's true. He didn't work for me much longer after that. He just quit.
He just quit?
I couldn't believe it. I was about to fire him pretty soon anyways, though. He was starting to talk to himself and not really focusing.
Did you hear what he was saying to himself, at
least? It was all hogwash. Something about his dad's workers having food and reciting the same thing over and over.
Do you remember what he was saying?
Something like, I'm not worthy. I remember because I kept thinking, you're right, you ain't worthy, get back to work.
Anything else?
Then there's something about me. I figured he was getting ready for some kind of job interview. Boy, I hope they would call me as a reference. I was going to let him have it.
Did they ever call?
Never did. Oh. He was gone shortly after, and I ain't seen him since.
Well, thanks for coming on to our podcast.
Hey, that's the name of the job I gave him. He was a podcaster. He threw pods of food to pigs.
I guess that's something we have in common since I'm a podcaster.
Really? You feed pigs too?
Sure, we'll go with that. Thanks for stopping by and talking turkey.
Oh no, I only raise pigs, no turkeys. They are too high maintenance.
I should have known that. Goodbye.
Bye-bye now, Teddy boy.
That was certainly an interesting guest. Our next guest apparently is another kind of podcaster. Welcome to the show, Sonny.
Thanks for having me on your talk, Ted.
Finally, somebody gets it.
I mean, TED Talk. I get words jumbled up sometimes.
Not a TED Talk. That's a different channel. This is the Ted's Talking Podcast. Speaking of which, I heard you know something about podcasts.
Oh, yeah. If you throw a pod sidearm, sometimes you can skip it off a pig's back.
I never thought of something like that.
I got pretty good at tossing food pods to them pigs when I worked for old Farmer Pigsley.
Wait a second. I thought his name was Digsley.
It is, but we all called him Pigsley because he's just obsessed with pigs. Don't try and bring up other animals with that guy.
Oh, I know that from experience. How did you come to meet the old farmer?
Oh, well, that's a long story, and it's kind of tough to talk about it. It brings up some times I'm not very proud about.
I see. Well, let's ease into it then. How did you meet the old farmer?
I met him at a party I threw. I was living abroad, and I would throw these big parties and invite new people. He showed up with some candied bacon that was just delicious.
I love candied bacon. I wish I had brought up food. All he wanted to talk about was candles. And, you know, I bet he makes some really good candied bacon.
He does. Then he told me I should wash it down with some Baconade.
Baconade?
Yeah. I sure did. He carries a pitcher of juice that is just like root beer that is made from bacon. It doesn't sound good, but it goes down smooth and has a nice bacon aftertaste.
I wish I had talked about food products. All we were talking about was candles. Maybe he would have brought me some samples.
Too bad you missed out. They were delicious.
Okay, so you met him at a party you threw, but he told me that he worked for you.
I did. A big famine hit that country, and I ran out of money really fast. I went to some of the people who came to my parties, but they wouldn't help me out. I guess money didn't get me friends like I thought it would.
Oh, so I guess the old saying is that you learn who your real friends are when times get tough.
That is so true. It hurt to think they liked my parties, but wouldn't help me. Finally, I went to Mr. Digsley and asked for help. He let me work for him.
Feeding pigs?
Yep, and nothing to spare because the bacon that makes people the happiest comes from the fattest pigs. At least that's what Mr. Pigsley always said.
So I bet you were pretty hungry, huh?
I was. I wanted to eat the pods I was throwing to pigs. By the way, these pigs are fast and smart. I could throw a pod as far as I could and the pigs would run under and catch it.
Maybe they could play for the Rockies.
What? No, the ground didn't have very many rocks. It was muddy, though.
No. So the Rockies are a baseball team and they have to catch... You know what? Let's not go there. It doesn't matter. Let's talk back to something you said earlier. You said a minute ago you like to throw parties.
Oh, yeah. I threw some great parties. One time we hired out a few carts to have a party on wheels. We made it through the whole town before the donkeys got too tired to pull us around anymore.
Wow. That sounds kind of expensive. How'd you get the money to throw all these parties?
Well, that's where I'm not too proud about my past.
Ooh. Can you please share with us what happened? I think some of our listeners might be able to learn from your story.
Okay, please don't judge me too harshly, listeners. There's a custom in my homeland where a child can basically ask for their inheritance from the dad before he dies.
Ooh. Wouldn't that kind of be like telling your dad you don't want to wait for him to die and just give you your stuff now?
It's worse. It's like saying...
It's okay. It's okay. Take your time.
It's like saying, I wish you were dead.
Ooh, I can see why you aren't very proud of this part of your story.
Exactly. And you know what? He did it. And when he gave me the money of all the inheritance, he said, I love you.
What? He said he loved you after you said, basically, you wished he was dead?
He did. I barely remember him saying it, and it certainly didn't mean much to me at the time, but he said it nonetheless.
So, what caused you to remember this?
After the famine hit, I was wishing I could eat the pig food. Day after day after day of being so hungry, you want to eat what pigs eat, so you start to reflect on your life choices. By the way, the pigs will eat anything. I once saw a pig eat a whale that fell off a cart and rolled into their trash pile and into their pen. That thing was gone in less than a minute. Wouldn't believe it if I didn't see with my own two eyes.
That's something. So once you reflected on your life, what did you think about?
I thought about a lot of things, but always came back to how even the lowest workers for my dad had all they needed, and there I was, wishing for a scrap of food. Eventually, I started imagining my dad passing out their wages.
I bet that hurt a little bit since you've seen how nice your dad was to all his workers.
I did. Then one day while I was imagining this, I put myself in their shoes, and my dad was giving me a wage after feeding the pigs. And he said, "I love you." All of a sudden, it hit me that he said, "I love you," when handing me the money when I asked for my inheritance early.
Wow. I bet that was a pretty big revelation for you.
I literally dropped the pods that were in my hands when that hit me. Then a pig hit me.
A pig hit you?
Yeah, that's what happens if a pod falls on the ground too close to you. They'll run for food and they don't care if you're standing there.
All right. Well, after the pig hit you, what did you do about your revelation?
I started planning what it'd be like if I went back home and told my dad how I felt.
Well, how did you feel?
I was ashamed, but I planned out a speech.
Oh, you remember it? What was it?
Oh, I remember it. It was like this. "Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in your sight I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired workers."
That is very specific. How do you still remember it word for word like that?
I started practicing what I'd say. I said it over and over for days and weeks.
Oh, so that's what Farmer Pig Diggsley was saying when he said you were talking to yourself.
I guess. I was so focused on rehearsing and me and my dad, I didn't notice.
Is that when you decided to go home?
Yep, it took me a while to convince myself to swallow my pride and go home.
So what feelings did you have to overcome?
I mean, I had taken half of everything my dad had and squandered it on parties and ice sculptures and plates of small food and all kinds of lavish things.
Why is a plate of small food lavish?
I would hire these famous chefs to make great meals, and those chefs would buy the most expensive ingredients and make a plate that had a single bite that was worth like 1 month's wages.
Wow. I hope that bite was worth it.
To be honest with you, I'd probably rather have a hamburger.
With bacon, I bet. I guess it would have been better to watch some of your spending, huh?
I know so much more about what money can and can't buy you. I really learned to appreciate what my dad had and what he gave me. It was too late for my inheritance, but I knew I could go back to him. He told me he loved me even when I didn't deserve it.
So you went home. How'd that go? Did you see your dad?
I did. He was the first person I saw.
Ooh, what did he do when he saw you?
I couldn't believe it. He ran. I had never seen him run before in my entire life. He was running right towards me. I wasn't sure if he was mad or happy, so I got ready to say my speech.
How did he like your speech?
I can't say for sure.
Why not?
He wouldn't let me get through it. I mean, I started and it was like I wasn't even talking.
So he was mad?
Not even a little bit. He was the happiest I've ever seen him.
Then why couldn't you get your speech out?
He was hugging me and yelling to assistants to start preparing a party. I kept trying to say what I wanted, but he kept adding more orders for the party and having people bring me fresh clothes and shoes. First it was a fattened calf, then it was some streamers, then he wanted someone to invite the whole town. Then he ordered a bunch of sodas and he even wanted baconade, of all things.
Did you ever get the whole speech out?
I did, like, after 5 tries.
5 tries, okay. So how did he respond?
He said that didn't matter, that he was happy I was home. It was like I was dead but was now alive.
How'd that make you feel?
At that moment, I realized that he would always love me no matter what I did in my past or anything I could do in the future.
Did your opinion of your dad change at all after that?
How could it not? I realized that he is full of amazing grace. I was a wretch and his grace saved me. I was lost and dead and to my family, but now I'm found. His grace that I hoped for was real and brought me home.
Wow. That's just the kind of story we like here on the Ted's Talking Podcast.
Speaking of casting pods, I once got a pig to jump off another pig's back like a springboard and catch a pod midair while doing a backflip.
That's actually really impressive. Thanks for coming on the show and sharing your amazing story.
Thanks for having me. It's always nice to meet someone else who claims to be a podcaster, even though I don't understand how you are one since you don't throw food to pigs. Anyway, keep talking, Ted.
Well, trust me, I am a podcaster, and it's Ted's Talking. But that's the closest anyone's ever gotten to saying it right, so we're going to go with it. I'm starting to wonder if anybody's ever going to get that right. But anyway, our next guest is Sonny's brother. His name's Brocephus. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on your podcast, although I'm not too sure why you and Sonny kept talking about casting pods.
It's not a pot of food. See, I record these conversations with interesting people, and I put them up on, you know what? That's not important either. Let's talk a little bit about Sonny.
Well, as you know, Sonny's my brother, and he caused quite a commotion a few years ago.
Right, when he asked for his inheritance early.
That's right. I couldn't believe my ears. He walked up to my dad and said, "Give him my share of the estate and I have coming to me." I almost fell over.
That does sound kind of shocking.
It's worse. Our dad, who always gave us anything we needed, it was like saying, "Let's pretend you're dead and give me my inheritance." I thought that was it. My dad was going to cut him off and throw him out.
Did he?
No, he didn't. He just split up the estate and gave it to Sonny. I declined my portion and kept living with our dad.
So what did Sonny do with his portion?
I'm not entirely certain. I know the very first thing he did, though, was buy a fancy horse. I had only ever seen donkeys for working and riding, but he showed up with this beautiful brown and white horse. He got a saddle that had all the options. It was really decked out. Special chrome saddle horn, leather stirrups, a heated bucket saddle seat, and custom-made and handcrafted fenders with flames embroidered on them.
All right, that sounds pretty extravagant.
It was. I bet the whole deal cost more than a year's wage for our dad.
So how'd that make you feel, seeing him live in such a prodigal and reckless way?
I was angry. This wasn't how we were raised. I stopped talking to him after that. He left for another country a couple days later.
Did you ever hear anything about him?
Not really. Sonny certainly didn't write to us. Every now and then, someone would mention a guy who threw crazy lavish parties. I assume they were talking about Sonny.
So, what do you think would happen to him?
Honestly, I thought he'd either get robbed or just run out of money completely. And he would learn his lesson the hard way.
So what did happen?
Well, I kept working for my dad like I did before the incident. Then one day I was working in the fields that were pretty far from the house. When I made my way back home, I could tell that something big was going on.
Something big? Like what?
Well, there was a feast. It was a big party.
Did your dad usually throw big parties?
He usually would, but always by schedule at least, a week in advance. I always went and enjoyed myself, but this was totally unscheduled.
So what could cause such an impromptu celebration?
I wondered the same thing. I called out to some of the workers, and they told me that Sonny had come back, and our dad called for a big party. He even had the prized calf we were saving for the New Year's feast, slaughtered for the party. They said my dad was so happy that the lost son was back safe and sound.
Well, how did that make you feel?
I was angry. I did not want to go into the party. This knucklehead had squandered everything our dad worked for. I'm just sure he threw parties with all kinds of questionable people and wasted all that money. But not me. I was always there working and taking care of things, all by myself, I might add. My brother just left.
So then what happened?
My dad came out to see me and talk.
How'd that go?
Oh, he knew I was mad. Believe me, I let him have it. I told him I was always here and I never wasted his money. How could he throw a party for a brother of mine? And I never got a party like this at all.
And how'd your dad respond to that?
He gave me a hug. I was shocked. I just yelled at him more than I ever had before, and he just hugged me for a long time.
Is that a normal thing?
Well, actually, no. It wasn't. Not like this. This was like a one-minute hug. Then he whispered in my ear.
What'd he say?
He said, "I love you."
He said, "I love you"?
Yeah, he said it like 3 times. I was shocked. Then he said that everything I have is yours, and I'm happy that you have always been with me. But when your brother came back from the dead, we had to celebrate. He is alive again. I got a little confused.
Yeah, I'm a little confused too. No one said anything about Sonny being dead.
Well, he wasn't actually dead. My dad said when he left and taking his inheritance, it was like he was dead. He wasn't living our family way. He was lost in it like it was like he was dead to us.
Okay, so I'm guessing you kind of liked it that way, though.
I wouldn't say I liked that he was dead, but we had just sort of gotten used to him being gone. I had accepted that he was gone.
Did your dad feel the same way?
No, I don't think so. I would catch him looking out into the distance, looking for him, whenever we were on breaks or early in the morning or late in the evening, before and after work. I really think he always hoped or maybe knew that he would come back.
So could you tell how he felt when Sonny actually came back?
Oh, he didn't hide it at all. He was beaming. I hadn't seen him so happy in a long time.
So did you ever wind up going into the party?
I did. It took me a while, but I realized that all I did was a couple of weeks later, my dad gave me a bunch of food and supplies to throw a big party with my friends.
Wow, that sounds great. Did you throw a big lavish party?
No, not really. It was just some friends and some food. It was really nice.
Ice sculptures? Tiny food, maybe?
No. Sonny told me that it wasn't worth it to throw a party with expensive things like that. He even came by. He kind of smelled like bacon. I asked him what that was all about. He said he had a bottle of bacon aftershave that he got from some guy.
That sounds about right. Sonny said that he thought your dad was full of grace. Do you feel the same way?
I sure do. He's full of amazing grace. His grace relieved my fears and frustrations about my brother's return from reckless living. And my dad's grace was precious when it first appeared. After I realized what he was doing, I'm very blessed.
Wow. What an amazing story of grace. Thank you for joining us today on the show.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right. That was Brosephus, the brother of Sonny and the son of our next guest. Urgent. We don't do this.
Just read the sponsored message.
We don't do sponsors.
Just read it.
All right. Listeners, I've just been informed by our producer that we need to announce today's sponsor. Today's show is brought to you by Digsley's Deodorant. This famous bacon-scented deodorant will make sure you never smell like a live pig again. Pick some up today at Digsley's Market. Try original bacon-scented Digsley's deodorant today. If you're tired of the original, you can always try the new maple bacon-scented Digsley's deodorant exclusively at Digsley's Market. Seriously, how did he become a sponsor so soon? Anyway, our last guest on today's show is the father of Sonny and Brosephus. I have a feeling you will all enjoy hearing about the extravagant love he has for his children. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me on your TED's Talking podcast today.
I'm speechless. No one ever gets that right.
Well, I'm happy to be here. I never miss one of your episodes. I really enjoyed the one with the lion's den keeper.
Wow, you really seem to care about me. And it sounds like you really care about your children as well.
I do. I love them.
So we've heard from Sonny and Brosephus about the incident when Sonny asked for his inheritance. Can you give us your perspective on it?
I have always loved my children lavishly. They didn't always see it, but I do. I love Sonny so much, I let him ask for his inheritance and honored the request. He was free to make his choice, and I knew that if I forced him to stay, he might resent me. So in love, I let him go.
So was it hard to watch him go?
It was incredibly painful. My heart ached for him. I knew he was going to spend the money foolishly. You should have seen the horse and saddle he brought home. It makes some of your cars these days look like a Pinto. Get it? A Pinto is a horse and a junker car.
That's a good one. Did you hear from Sonny during this time?
I did not. I knew he was living recklessly and extravagantly. Every now and again, a traveler would mention someone living way far off in the country. And I knew that was Sonny.
So, what'd you do during this time?
I am always on the lookout for things that are lost. When I find them, I'm very happy and like to celebrate. I have found lost coins and pearls before, but I really hoped I would find my son, who was lost himself in another country. I kept looking toward the horizon morning, noon, and night. I knew he would come back. I just kept looking out for him.
How did you know he would come back?
A father just knows things. I knew that eventually he would realize that he was loved here. And when he came to his senses, I was going to be here and remind him of that.
So what happened when you finally saw him?
I saw him quite a ways off, and I was going to show him how much I loved him. My heart was bursting with love and thrill of him returning. It was like he was coming back from the dead.
So what makes you say that it was like he was dead?
Well, when he left, he cut all ties from the family. It was like a legal contract that was broken. But more than that, it was like that he was lost. He was making bad decisions about life. Let me be clear. He wasn't dead to me, but definitely lost, and our whole family had a hole in it.
So what did you do when you saw him?
I wanted to get to him as fast as possible, even though he was probably a mile away. I ran.
So wait a second. I didn't think that men in your culture ran.
We don't. But this wasn't a time for manners and protocol. This was a time for reunion and grace. I ran. I actually had never run before. I didn't even know I could run. I probably looked a little funny. I hadn't ran since I was like 10 years old.
I'm sure you look fine. Probably made good time too.
Well, actually, there is more reason I looked funny. I was wearing my normal robe, and in order to run, I had to pull it between my legs so I could run. I think it may have looked like a diaper.
All right, I guess that would have been a sight to see.
That's not all. I don't know if any of your listeners have ever ran in sandals, but it's not easy. I almost tripped a few times, but I got to him in a few minutes.
Wow. So how did the meeting go?
I just ran up, grabbed him, and gave him a big hug and started yelling for my workers to get a feast started. I could not help myself. I was overjoyed.
Did Sonny try and say anything to you?
He was trying to say something, but I kept telling him I loved him and it didn't matter what he had done.
But was he persistent in what he tried to say?
He was very persistent. I cut him off like 5 times, but then I finally let him finish. It seemed really important that he had to say it all.
Okay. So what did he say?
He was saying that he had sinned against me and wasn't worthy to be my son and asked me to hire him as one of my workers.
Did you do what he asked?
I had already forgiven him. It did not matter what he said. The second he started coming home, I was ready to give him grace and call him my son. We had to celebrate his return.
But why throw a party so soon? What if he just wanted to waste some more money?
Oh, I knew he was back, and I was so happy he returned. He was lost and he found himself when he came to his senses. That is a cause for a celebration.
I think you're right. That's a good reason for celebration.
Exactly. It is like when you find a lost sheep that wandered away from the 100, or when you find a valuable coin that you'd lost.
I think I'm beginning to understand. But what did Brosephus think of all this feasting?
Well, he was very upset at first, but I reminded him that he was always with me and that everything I have is his. He had always been in my house, and I loved him dearly. He needed to be reminded that just because I haven't thrown him any big parties doesn't mean that he's not a part of the household. Wherever he went, he never lacks what he needs.
So did he realize that your presence is worth more than a feast?
He did, and he came into the party and celebrated with his brother that was lost, and now he was found. He always had the same grace I extended to his brother. I hope your listeners all know that there is someone who will always offer grace.
Well, I think that's the best way to end today's podcast. Thank you for telling us about your amazing grace and wonderful love of your children.
Thanks for having me on your show. I look forward to your next TED's Talking podcast. Have a great day.
Wow, what a great... what a great guest. Not only can he get the name of the show right, but he's a regular listener as well. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on our next episode. All right. So that was our skit. I'm just going to highlight a couple of things for you guys. They did good, right? So the skit really played on pig farming, right? A lot of bacon talk. Caden looks the part. This would have been pretty shocking to Jesus' crowd when he told this parable. Pigs are unclean. Pigs, that's not it, but Jesus had to make this point clear later on. He made the point very clear. Being around pigs, what you eat, eating bacon, drinking Baconade, it's all okay. That doesn't matter. What goes into you doesn't make you unclean. It's what's in your heart. So there's the farmer's perspective. Let's talk about the son, the prodigal son. He made a speech. He had it down. Our guy... Carson did a good job. He had that thing 5 tries he tried to get it out. He was going to get that speech out to his dad no matter what. But God doesn't care about our speeches. God doesn't care if we rehearse, if we do anything. As soon as we turn back, God's ready to give us that grace. You know, I mentioned this before we started. Prodigal. Reckless or lavish spending. We sang a song before the skit, might have given it away a little bit. Reckless love. That's about God's love. Prodigal means extravagant. The son certainly was prodigal in how he spent. And that's, you know, the little title at the top in Luke 15, when you get down into halfway through Luke 15, all your Bibles probably say the prodigal son. But those titles aren't in what Luke wrote. Luke didn't write, hey, prodigal son, the lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son. Like, those weren't there. They were just something we've put in to help us as we go through, so that when somebody's up here preaching, they can tell you, go to the prodigal son, and everybody's like, oh, okay, we know where to go. That's in Luke 15. But maybe the point isn't about the son's reckless spending. Certainly, it's a big part of it. But think about the father's love. The father was reckless with his love. The son told him, I wish you were dead. And he didn't care. Right? He cared. It probably hurt a little bit, but he still loved him. In the skit, he told him he loved him as he handed him over the inheritance. God loves us recklessly. He loves us no matter what our choices are. And even when we run away, he's going to run towards us when we turn back to him. He's going to hike up his robe. He's going to maybe flip off his sandals even and come running. God does that for us too. You guys probably noticed some of the themes of Amazing Grace, the hymn. That was intentional. We're going to sing to close out today the hymn Amazing Grace. As we sing, I want you guys to reflect a little bit on God's amazing grace, his prodigal love for us, his lavish, extravagant, expensive, it was expensive, love for us, and that love that he freely gives. So we'll let Tim and the guys sing Amazing Grace.